So, we learned yesterday that Yaakov Avinu accepts the news that Yosef is crying and he grieves that he's going to go. Right? But Yaakov, on the way out, first goes to Beersheba. There, he cuts down cedar trees, which Avram Avinu had planted, and he brings them to Mitzrayim. Because, it says, Yaakov, with Ruach HaKodesh, saw that when the Jews leave Mitzrayim, they're going to have to go to the Midbar, and they're going to have to build a Mishkan. And they were going to need cedar trees and cedar lumber of a certain size. So that's 64 feet long, it says, with one beam. Which is 32 amos, the central beam of the Mishkan. While in Beersheva, Yaakov Avinu brings korbanos on the same Mizbeach that his father Yitzchak had. Yaakov, it said, didn't feel 100% certain that the Rabbeinu Shulam really wanted him to go to Mitzrayim. Therefore, it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him and said, Yaakov, Yaakov, twice. It says, the repetition was an expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and encouragement. And Yaakov answers, here I am. And Hashem says, do not fear. Although I told your forefathers, actually I told your father, only Yitzchak, he couldn't leave to go to Mitzrayim because he was a korban, and a korban can't leave the country. I am telling you, you may go, you should go, and I am taking my Shechina, and it's going with you. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I am going to keep the part of my promise that I gave to Avraham Avinu, that you're coming out. This is not going to be a permanent sojourn in Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore promised that Yaakov would in fact be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would ensure that the bones, the coffins of the 12 sons would also come back to Eretz Yisrael. And Hashem again said, this is a time limited.
I mean, I don't know when this deal is up, but
this is a time limited golus. And lastly, that the Shekhinah would be with the Jewish family that he was taking down and their descendants in Mizraim. We're told that Yaakov set out with 69 souls in total, cattle, possessions, and they went down to Mitzrayim. But we're told, right? We're told in both Bereishis and I think in Shmos again, there were 70 souls, 70 human beings. And who was the 70th? We're told that Yocheved, Levi's daughter, was born as they entered the gates of Mitzrayim. And I guess what they're saying is, if you don't accept this medrash, the Shekhinah is counted as the 70th. It says, similarly, one of the Mefarshim says that when they left Mitzrayim, there were 599,999 men, and the Shekhinah made it 600,000. Yaakov wanted to ensure that he had the perfect environment in Mitzrayim, and he told Yehuda, you go ahead, and we want you to arrange for what's required where we settle. He wasn't talking about a tent or whatever. He was saying to Yehuda, go and set up the Beis Medrash. We cannot live anywhere where we don't have a Beis Medrash. They had wagons to carry everything sent by Yosef, but Yaakov's sons, it says, individually carried him. To give him this tremendous respect, they carried him instead of in a wagon, and I'm gathering they must have given him some sort of traveling item that would be more comfortable than the wood of a chariot, or the wood, or either the metal of the chariot, or the wood of a wagon. Yosef, hearing that Yaakov was coming, went out to greet his father. And he personally, it says, harnessed his chariot. This was not something he would allow someone else to do, because it was an act of kavod, right? And he didn't ask anybody to come with. But when the Egyptians, I guess the noble people, saw that Yosef was going out of the capital to greet someone, they all felt they had to accompany the royal viceroy. And it says,
he didn't want him to leave. He didn't want him to leave Mitzrayim.
But he's only coming in now, right? They didn't want Yaakov to leave either later on. Yeah, okay. That's assuming that they thought that he was leaving permanently, but if all he had was driving in his chariot, he probably didn't have any provisions or anything with him. It says, there were two individuals in the Chumash who were given tremendous respect. One is Yaakov Avinu right here. Anyone who saw Yosef and Paro's nobles going out to meet Yaakov followed. The bulk of the Egyptian populace came out to meet Yaakov. It says, this is the honor accorded to those who fear the Rabbonu Shel Olam. It quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu's elders, there will be glory. The other one, we will learn, was Yisro. When Yisro comes to the camp of Bnei Yisrael in the desert, Moshe started to go out. Then Aaron joined, Aaron's sons, the 70 elders, the remainder of the Beis Din, and again, everyone important, and therefore the masses. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had both of these individuals greeted in the most wonderful way. Yosef had trepidation that because Yaakov was elderly, if he happened on him right away, you know, he could cause him, I guess, a cardiac arrest or whatever. And therefore, what he did is he told Menashe with 5 horses to go out. Why 5 horses? It doesn't tell us. It says that Yaakov saw this 5 horse assembly coming, and he said, this must be Yosef. And one of his sons said, no, my father, this is your grandson. And then Yosef sent Ephraim in the same way. And again, Yaakov's immediate reaction was, this is Yosef. And they said, no. So basically, he had tempered it somewhat, right? Now Yosef came at the head of the vast Egyptian army. It says he had on silk and purple, which were the royal colors. He had a golden crown, which Paro said, I want you to use especially to greet your father. When Yosef recognized his father from a distance, he went off his chariot and he walked towards him. And it says, the noble people, the noblemen, the dignitaries around him followed in step. They all walked. Yaakov turned to Yehuda and said, who is this person leading this amazing procession? And he said, this is Yosef. It says, Yaakov felt elated. Yosef approached Yaakov, bowed to him, as all the Egyptians did. He fell on Yaakov's neck and he wept. Yaakov Avinu, right, at that moment did not fall onto Yosef's neck, nor did he kiss him initially. He began by saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It said, the overwhelming love and awe that Yaakov felt at the very sight of his son made him realize the great miracle HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great kindness. And he wanted to use this moment of special, special elation to give shvach, to give thanks to the Rabbona Shalom, to once again accept the Oyel Malchus Shamayim, God's authority. And that's why he said, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yaakov says, I had thought that I was going to go to Gehenna because I had allowed one of the tribes to be missing. But now that Yosef is alive, and I'm gathering he meant alive and still a tzaddik, I have confidence, right, that I will be zocha to Olam Haba. Excuse me. Yosef then takes his brothers, and he's going to introduce them formally to Paroi. And he says, when Paroi asks you, what is your occupation? You should say to him, like our forefathers, we are shepherds. And that's our skill. Therefore, because the animals are deities of the Egyptians, he will settle you far away from the society at large. Right? And he will not ask you to take on other responsibilities. It says, Yosef had a plan, which we find later on the Jewish people frustrated, and that's one of the reasons the Golus in Mitzrayim was so severe. Yosef's plan was that the Jewish family would live in Goshen exclusively. They would never move elsewhere. They wouldn't attempt to be one of the Egyptians, to be one of the crowd. Right. He realized what could happen when one nation moves to another, and he didn't want that. He wanted to have the same level of holiness in the family as long as they were compelled to be in Mitzrayim. He also gave them the best pasture land in the country, so they would have no reason to look elsewhere for their livelihood. And not only that, it says, the land of Goshen was legally property of Bnei Yisrael, because when Paro detained Sarah, right, and later gave gifts when returning her to Avraham, he gave Sarah, right, the previous Paro had given Sarah title to Goshen. So it was basically Jewish-owned land. Yosef feared that if the Jews tried to go into the main cities, to move, right, and to move into Egyptian property, the Egyptians could then say, you're trespassers. You know, sure, maybe, you know, you bought this from someone else, you know, from Mohammed or whatever, but it wasn't his to sell. Therefore, he wanted them on land that was clearly Jewish in title, and that was written in the annals and the records of Egypt. It says Yosef took the five weakest of his brothers, right, and presented them to Paro. And when I see this list, you're going to say, what? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, and Binyamin. We know that, right, Shimon and Levi wiped out, Shechem. And Shimon and Levi had threatened to destroy most of Mitzrayim. Anyway, but Yosef felt that his other brothers looked superior in terms of strength and ability. Paro did in fact ask them, Mama Furteh, what's your occupation? You know, like every Jew. So what do you do for a living? And they said, we are in fact shepherds, which is the family business, and we have to come down here to Mitzrayim for grasslands because there are none left in Canaan. Paro said to Yosef, the entire land of Mitzrayim is open to your family. And I guess when Yosef said, we want Goshen, which our great-grandmother, or grandmother, great-grandmother was given title to, Paro was only too happy to give them this area. It says, we eat Moror, because the lettuce, right, reminds us of the way the Egyptians acted. The stalk is soft, and it says, and pleasant on top. But as you come down to the bottom, you get a hard lump that's a little bit bitter on the back. So were the Egyptians. The Egyptians invited the Jews in, were willing hosts, and later on turned out to be the eight embitterers. Yosef then took Yaakov and introduced him to Pharaoh. The Medrash tells us that Oig, Melech HaBashan, Oig the king, was there. He was an advisor to Pharaoh, and he said, "Hold on, Oig, you told me that Avram had been sterile. He never fathered children." Oh, right? But look, here's a grandson who has 70 people in the family. Oak says no. Oak said, "Not, he looks so old. I bet you it's still Avram." I mean, they knew he had Avram been buried, but anyway. Oak was misled because Oak saw in Yaakov the same features he had seen in Avram. But if that were the case, he'd have the same problem. How did he have the 70-person family? Paro asked Yaakov how old you are. Yaakov said, "I look older. I'm only 130. But because I've had a life where the days that were good were few and there were more troubling times, I did not achieve the same level of simcha, happiness, that my forefathers did." When Paro and Og heard that, then they realized, oh boy, this really is Yaakov. There's no way it's Avram. Later on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reprimands Yaakov for this comment that his days that were good were few, right? And he said, it's very difficult to understand, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to say to him, "I saved you from Eliphaz, Lavan, Esav. I gave you back Dina. I gave you back Shimon. I gave you back Yosef," right?
They should be thankful for that.
That's what it says.
I don't know.
It says you used 33 words in responding to Paro. For each one of those words, I'm going to take 1 year of your lifespan away. And it says that's why he lived to 147 and not 180 like Yitzchak. Paro said to Yaakov, "Could you please give me a blessing?" I mean, Paro must have realized that he was looking at the most spiritual man in the world. And Yaakov Avinu gave him the blessing that denial will overrun its banks and irrigate the country. It says, when Yitzchak came to the Plishtim, there was produce blessed. Even Lavan told Yaakov, "I was blessed because of you." Yosef made Potiphar's house prosper before Potiphar's wife turned against him. And when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, we're told, the famine ended. The last 5 years were years of blessing. The years in which Yaakov spent in Mitzrayim, they said, were happiest years of his life. And we're going to see next week, it says, Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov truly lived in Mitzrayim. He was there with his family. They had their family-based medrash. He had Yosef, Menashe, and Ephraim learning with him. The Parsha then goes on and talks about how Yosef treated the Egyptians in the years of famine, how he acquired everything they owned in exchange for property. And that's where the Parsha ends, and we pick up with Vayechi next week. Okay. We're going to go back to looking at the Rambam, hopefully tomorrow. Have a great day, a great Chodesh, and a great remaining Hanukkah.